My name is Patrick Gross. It's nice to be here with you. Michael and Jerry, thanks for asking me to teach. So, we're going to start in Romans 12. We are looking at the one body tonight. And in particular, we are looking at your strengths, your value, your contribution, your importance to God. And because I've been learning lately that God is such a great communicator, he has chosen an example in Romans, where we're going to start here in chapter 12, by using something that is very easily relatable. Because we were born with bodies. We were born with them. We continue to live with them. One day we're going to be done with them. Yeah. But in the meantime, we've had a lot of time to get to know our bodies. Very simple things. You want to shake someone's hand, you know what to do. You want to give them a hug, you know what to do. You need to scratch an itch, you know what to do. So everyone here, like, you know how to work these things, right? We're all doing it. And God makes it so easily relatable by describing the body of Christ like our bodies, because we get that. That's something that we've lived with. So God picks this very simple way to help us and to demonstrate our individual strengths, just like the hands, just like the ears, just like the eyes. And because we have frail bodies, sometimes parts of us go MIA. They're just out of commission. We can't make them work. And we know how it like kind of hangs up our life when we don't have that body part. When you lose the aid of your hand, I'm sorry, I can't actually talk to you guys. I just got a paper cut. I'm out. I gotta go. But you get something little like that, and it's like, oh my God, I'm down. I'm down for the count. I'm no good. It's the same with the body of Christ. All these little parts coming together to make something strong and unified and important. And that's how God designed us, as one. We heard this before today. He designed us as one, and that's how we are strong. That's where the power is in the church. So let's start in Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Again and again and again, we are one. So our bodies, of course, they have many parts, a lot of things that we can see, a lot of things that we can't see, but they're all doing something. They're all working together to do something. And office here that's referred to in verse 4, office is acts or deeds or practices or functions. After you have a big old dinner of barbecued ribs, there's a lot of things going on inside that you don't see, but they're doing a lot of work. My wife said to me, go light. And I was like, no. One of my kids couldn't finish their ribs. So I was like, I'll help you with that. So consequently, there's a lot of parts doing things right now that we may not see, but I'm functioning. So a lot of things are working right now. How did we become one? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. My wife has great wisdom, and I say, no, it's barbecued ribs, fried chicken. Ephesians 2, how did we become one? Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You're seeing a theme here again and again and again. One, one, one. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We, all of us individually, are fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household. Every one of us was reconciled. That means that we were bought back with a price. And that is our identity. Much bigger than all the things that we might think are our identity, that is our identity, that we are members of God's household. I'm of like German and Irish and Lithuanian and English and lots of other descents. God doesn't see that. That is not important to God. What God sees is one of God's kids. That is our identity. And we have to let go of all the stuff that we thought was our identity and claim that a lot bigger, a lot bigger. And with that, we need to see it in each other too. It doesn't matter like skin color, gender, where we're from, what country, what we've done in our past, our identity is that we are God's kids. We sang that song, Chosen Gems, and that's how God sees every one of us here tonight, sitting in this audience. So let's go to Ephesians 3 now, just jump down a little bit. Ephesians 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The mystery could have been revealed at the day of Pentecost, but it wasn't. It was a big thing, and Paul wasn't ready for it, so it was not revealed at that time. And that was also the first thing to really get compromised at the end of his life. Why on both? Because it was that important. It was a really big deal. And verse 6 reads that the Gentiles should be, in the Working Translation, it says that the Gentiles should be joint heirs and joint members of the same body and joint partakers of the promise. Joint heirs, joint members, joint partakers. Going back to the example of the human body that we can all relate to, a joint is a structure in the human body at which two parts of the skeleton are fitted together. So it's not just two things going like this and touching, it's like they're intertwined. And that is how he made us to be. We are better together, but it takes all of the parts. It takes all of the individual parts. Our bodies, of course, are very unique in their appearance. There are some similarities. You might think that like, well, your hand and your feet, they're at the end of a limb. They both have these little thingies that do things on the end. But they have very different. Try drinking your water with your feet tonight. See how that goes for you. They're different. They might look similar, but they're different. They have different functions. They have different things that they're good at. That's an office. That's a function. Now, unfortunately, the new birth does not affect our mind. That means we got to take care of it. We got to exercise it. We got to keep it strong. We have the opportunity to shut down the five senses of how we receive our information, how we digest things, how we process things, and to think much bigger, go much bigger, believe the integrity of God's word bigger than that. Because five senses wise, you could look at me and be like, that dude's a lot different than I am. How are we part of the same family? But to God, he sees his masterpieces in all of us. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Speaking of the mystery that was compromised by the end of Paul's life. And of course, that's what the adversary wants to attack. It's what he wants to go after. Steal, kill, and destroy, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So here, so soon after the mystery was revealed, it was compromised. The adversary was on attack. He was doing his thing. He was doing what he was good at, and he was compromising people living the mystery together. Oh, man. You know, sometimes when I'm sharing the word with people, an often response is, what church do you go to? And that is how they're trying to determine my identity. They're trying to understand what color glasses I'm wearing. Am I wearing the rose-colored glasses, the yellow-colored glasses, the crazy-tinted glasses? That's how they are trying to understand my identity. But that's not how it is to God. If you want to laugh, you can look up a chart of Christianity. It's like a tree. It's like a tree. It starts out like this. And then next thing you know, it goes like this. And then within the next 500 years, it's like this. What's that the result of? Division? The adversary saying, no, what you are believing is not exactly what I'm believing. Or, you're a white guy, I'm not a white guy. I'm going to go across the street and start my own thing. And so soon, everything gets compromised. Someone outside was talking about how he had a mountain biking accident. And I thought, yeah, I've had some accidents. I remember the one time I ran in, like, straight on into the bottom of a tree. The tree obviously did not move. If you're a mountain biker, you hope that you land in the top parts because they're a lot more fragile. But that's like Christianity. All the different branches. You start out right here and you're real strong, and then it goes out and it's out and it's out. And there's no strength out here in the branches, but there is in the trunk. And that was in its original form. That's the early church. That's what we are fighting to maintain and keep intact. But we have to keep our brains sharp, right? So after losing the knowledge of the mystery, the next major loss was the truth concerning the believer's perfect standing before God. The sooner that we forget about that standing in ourselves, how quickly do we forget about the standing that others have with God? God tells us to show thyself approved unto God, and that means we're supposed to spoudazo, which means that we put forth a diligent effort. We can be diligent in a lot of things, but God wants us to be especially diligent in putting forth that effort to live the mystery, to know the individual's importance to the body of believers, and not undermine that, not discount them because they don't look like me or act like me. We all do quirky things. We're all weird, right? If you're not weird, please raise your hand. Oh, Joe Armstrong. So, welcome. We're all weird together. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Anyone ever tell you that you have beautiful elbows? Okay, picture this later on. Picture this. Don't use your elbows, but take a drink. Someone in this body of believers is an elbow. Really important. Think about that tonight when you're having a drink. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. All of us by grace. It's by grace, by grace, by grace. No matter our quirks, no matter our weirdness, no matter our intricacies, all of us were saved by that exact same grace. In Stephanie's key number one today, keys to like-mindedness, she covered really beautifully that we cannot let our minds be loose on the doctrine. And so what was so quickly compromised during Paul's life that he had fought so hard to maintain and slipped away because the adversary was robbing it away, we individually, we can't let our minds be loose on the doctrine. We got to be firm. We got to be strong. We got to do that diligent effort where God tells us to spoudazo. You know what happens in that time gap between our thought of a person and seeing God's masterpiece? What happens in that gap is division. And that is the response that our brain can be quick on. It can be like that, you know, just like right on top of it. I think of Johnny Believer and I think God's masterpiece. And what happens in that gap between can very quickly be division if we are not tight with our brains, if we are not training it, if we are not spiritual, strong, mental athletes. So Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, which is his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We all have the same degree of being God's masterpieces. What was that, a $450 million painting? That's every one of you guys, $450 million painting plus God's masterpieces. So let's go to Romans 12 again. With all this in mind, man, there is no room for division. There can't be that gap between our thought of a person and God's masterpiece, and that's how big and how important it is. If it was so quickly stolen in Paul's generation, then there's a lot at stake. There's a lot riding on this. There's a lot riding on us doing our thing together. You know a chain, right? You know, like you take these big steel chains and you can tow whatever, you can haul whatever out. But there's one compromise link in that thing and the whole thing goes to crap. It doesn't do any good. Individually, we are strong together, and that's the power of the church. Back to Romans 12, verse 4 again. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, and abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. What we're supposed to cleave to here is the great mystery, is seeing the strength, the contribution, the value in every individual believer working together to make this a strong church. Verse 6 means charismata, which is spiritual abilities. It's functions in the body, and it's how God has placed us accordingly. This is God's placement. That's thinking bigger spiritually than our perception by our five senses. So in light of what God's placement is, it's a lot easier to be thankful for what they do and what talents God has given every one of the individual believers. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. With all these different offices, it's really clear that God did not intend us to stand alone. You don't see body parts running around the streets, do you? Acts 19. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we all really care about? Do we want it badly enough that we're willing to train our brains? That we're willing to make our brains those strong spiritual muscles where we believe God's word bigger than all of the things that come at us? But that's going to be really required. There's a lot of things that can happen. I was, for my job, I was giving a presentation. It was like a sales proposal. I was telling them I could renovate their house. And at the one point, the guy, he has his eyebrow. Some of you guys have like amazing, I admire Grant for his ability to maneuver his eyebrows. It's really amazing. And this guy, I said something and his eyebrow goes, and I was like, what's that mean? Yeah, I do some weird things and then I get some weird reactions, but am I going to let it affect me? Am I going to let it hold me back in my walk with God? We have to keep moving because a lot of little things could cause division. Be like, oh man, that they made a joke about my casserole that I brought to the day in the Word. I'm never bringing a casserole again. I can't believe they made that joke about my casserole. And then things are never the same. God doesn't want that beef. He doesn't want that division. We have to get over the silly five senses stuff. They should see us as God's masterpieces, and we should see them right back, God's masterpieces. You know, the first fellowship, or the first handful of fellowships that I went to, if there was beef between the believers there, I would have been really quick to pick up on it. That stuff stands out. That's noticeable. But everyone there was like-minded. They were like, right on track with each other. They were synced up. They were living the word together. They were understanding everybody's importance in the body of Christ. And that was a beautiful thing to behold. That's why I wanted to keep coming back. That and the love of God applied. But they were seeing, that love of God sees past the things. Albert said when we were starting tonight that we really got to be big on patience and forgiveness. And we have to have that with each other. Yeah, maybe they made a weird remark about your casserole. Who cares? This is a lot bigger. We are strong together. Divided, we're nothing. I mean, we're God's masterpieces, but he clearly intended for us to be together as a strong body of believers. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We also heard this weekend that the adversary wants to talk us out of our own power and out of the power of others. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:19. You know, one of the definitions of peace is forgiveness enjoyed. Isn't that the truth? Hebrews 4:19. Huh? Therefore remains a rest of the... Nine. 4:9. Woo! Hebrews 4:9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. What a rest it is when we can enjoy forgiveness. What a peace it can bring over our hearts and our lives when we can enjoy forgiveness. And when did forgiving get so far away from giving? You know, anyone asked to like, oh, could you just drop everything and go bake a tray of cookies because we really need it for the meeting tomorrow? And there'd be people like throwing Bibles everywhere. I'm on it. I'm going. I'm baking cookies. When did forgiving get to be so far away from giving? And that's a form of giving. Just getting past it, getting past those weird things, those quirks, our own personal inadequacies. We have them, you know, but we can't all be the elbow. We can't all be the ear. There's strength in what every one of us has as our function as our office. So there's a great rest available and a great enjoyment of forgiveness. That should be amongst a body of believers that are functioning together. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 15. A fun thing that we can do when we have that thought of another believer, another individual, they might have a totally different function than us. But Ephesians 1, 15 gives us great instruction. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Just thanking God for all the different functions in the body. Yes, they're a lot different than yours. Yes, we are a lot different. And we have the opportunity to thank God for what that person does, for what that believer brings to the body of believers, for the strength that they contribute, for all the things that they can do so well that we might not be able to do, but they do it and they do their function and they kill it, and that's awesome. And that's a body of believers working together. We heard poetry today, and that's like a great contribution. I couldn't poet my way out of a wet paper bag. But guess what? Other people are really good at it and they contribute it. And then when it's shared, it's like, oh man, you just melted my heart. Everyone's doing their thing together. Let's go to Philemon chapter 1. Chapter 1. It's that tiny little shorty before Hebrews. Another example of just being thankful for God's people. Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. We get to pray for people. We can just say, God, man, I'm so thankful for all these different parts in the body, for the elbows, for the ears, for the parts that are doing their thing on the barbecued ribs in my belly. all of those parts together, they contribute to make a strong body of believers. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 15. You know, when we exercise that rest that's available to us, when we know that we're heaven-bound and there's nothing that can stop us, that's quite a rest, right? Everything, every little bump from along the road, every little shot from the adversary, that's a lot easier to take when we consider where we're going, what our end reality is. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Each one of us accepted in the beloved. Colossians chapter 3. We have the opportunity to see God, or to see people how God sees people. That is not according to the five senses. That is not according to the world. Colossians 3, verse 13. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Being big on patience and forgiveness. It's required. We're people, we have inadequacies, we have faults, but spiritually we are God's masterpieces, and that's how he sees us. So we have the opportunity to see people how God sees people. Forgiving is to send away, to dismiss, or to set free. Are we willing to do this? Are we willing to do this on the good days and the bad days? Because a lot of times on the bad days, it's a hard thing to get past. But we got to do it in our brains. That's being that strong mental, spiritual athlete. When we are willing to do this on all the days, that we snap our brains back and we believe God's word bigger. We see the value, the importance of their function in the body and what they bring and all the things that they contribute that we can't do so well. That's the body of believers working together. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This mystery was so quickly compromised because the adversary takes his shots. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Of course, he blew it, but he's still trying to break up the band, man. He's still trying to pick away at us. He's still trying to take us down. He blew it, but he's still after us. So he causes a division inch by inch. It can be that little gripe that turns into a big divide. You know, sometimes at my job I wear a tool belt. One of the most indispensable tools in a carpenter's tool belt is his pry bar. A pry bar is a crowbar. There's a million of them. I spent a little bit of time thinking about it when I was on my drive out here, and I was like, that is probably the tool that they make in the most different iterations. Because in my truck, and I don't roll with a lot of tools, but I have some, I guarantee I have 6 different types of pry bars. And what you do with a pry bar, you smack it with a hammer, 1 or 2 or 3 hits, and there is a tiny little gap, and it becomes a big gap. And next thing you know, something is broken. So do we ever take some hits in life? Do we ever take shots? Does it ever get widened into a gap? It's the first thing that's always lost. You know, it's really easy to go back to the altars and back to the water baptisms. It's really easy to go back there. But the adversary is always looking to belittle and to antiquate the mystery. Oh, that was the first century church. We're so past that. He's always looking to minimize that. The power of the church lies in the mystery. The adversary may have blown it, but he's still after us. He's still trying to pick it up. He's still trying to take a tiny little thing and turn it into a wedge and turn it into a break. But But the power of the church lies in the mystery. When we lose that, power when we focus on the things that the adversary would have us to focus on, as opposed to believing God's word bigger. Let's go back to Ephesians. So I love barns. And I just thought of this when Stephanie was talking about her cute little fairy house. So in a barn, one of the things that I appreciate about a barn is that you walk in it and you can see all the joints. You see all the things that are doing all the work. And because it's the business that I work in, I see what happens when all the little parts aren't doing their job. And it just takes a little bit. It takes one nail on the corner of a roof lifting up before that corner gets compromised. It takes one little concrete footing over here that gets undermined before that side of the barn is falling down. It takes all the little braces, all the little bents, all the little things coming together to make that strength. And when one of those gets compromised, man, it's just a matter of time until the whole thing is going down. It's like the body of believers and the strength of the church. It's all of our individual parts, whatever that might be. If you're an ear, you're an elbow. If you're parking the cars, if you're leading a meeting, if you are baking the cookies, it takes all of us doing our individual parts to be a strong body of believers together. And then, man, that's a beautiful thing to behold. That's like some guy in New Jersey going to this house full of like crazy young people and seeing that they're rocking and rolling together. They're loving God. They're believing God together. And there's no beef. I'd never seen anything like it. I was like, why do they like each other so much? So, Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Fitly framed together, that's all the individual pieces together, like that example of the skeleton where it's a structural thing where the body parts are formed together. There's a huge loss when we are not rocking and rolling together, when we are not believing God together, when we are not taking care of our brains to get past all the little inadequacies and all the little like quirks that we have as people. But seeing everybody's individual strengths in the body of believers, man, that's a really amazing thing. So together, we have the opportunity to esteem one another, which is a really fun opportunity. Whether we're the broom sweeper, the cookie baker, the meeting leader, it doesn't matter. We are functioning together and we are strong together doing our thing. So it's really such a privilege to be with you guys, to be members of the body of believers together, and we're strong. Wherever that division, wherever that beef is going to have room to divide, let's not let that be us. Let's take care of our people. Let's make sure that we are representing God in everything that we're doing. And it's not just amongst the household of believers. We have the opportunity to love other people with the love of God and show them such an amazing thing that we have. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. It's really been a privilege, and thanks for doing your parts in the body of believers.